When Jesus said, "It is finished," he sacrificed himself so that we could be made whole. Today on Better Together, Victoria Osteen, Beth Redmond, Brittany Borders, and Lindy Kofer are with me to talk about how to live in the freedom and the victory that is already ours. Come on, join us.
I was talking with my kids this week about milestones, and that we were sitting around the table and they were like, "Hey, Mom, when did I take my first steps?" And, you know, I've got five kids, so, like, I'm pretty solid on the first couple. But as it started to get into the, like, four, five, I think I was making stuff up. And they were like, "What was my first word?" And again, it was getting a little hazy. But they just loved knowing about those first moments. And then they were asking me, like, "Remind me how you met Dad," and, like, "Where did you go on your first date?" And, "When did you get engaged?" I'm like, I literally couldn't remember. I was like, "I'm going to have to phone a friend." Like, this is somewhere in, like, 97-ish, somewhere in the fall. Because, like, there's these moments that you never forget, but sometimes the details are hazy. And we've been talking this week about, like, living in the fullness of God. We've been looking at the Holy Spirit, God the Father, and then today we're going to look at knowing Jesus. And that is one milestone in my life that is not hazy. Like, I know everything about that moment when Jesus had been waiting for me. The Holy Spirit had been sitting, waiting for me to invite him into my life. And I'd known about God for a long time. That is one of the primary gifts my parents gave me, was life and being brought up going to a local church. And I went to the most incredible local church. The local church that I was brought up in was, like, in the middle of the projects. It was like a community center, and they shared it between three different denominations. So first thing, the Roman Catholics came in and they did their service really early in the morning. And then second, the Anglicans came in, the Church of England, and they did their service. And then the Free Church came in. That's the church that I was in. They came in and did their service. And then it turned into, like, a pub afterwards. So it was like something for everyone. But, like, every now and then all the services would get together and we'd be doing all that. I mean, like, this is just all the demonstrations. But the one thing we agree on is Jesus. And I knew about Jesus, I feel like, my whole life. And when I was a teenager, we moved. And so we moved to this new church, this denomination called New Frontiers. And it was there that I didn't just grow up knowing about Jesus, but that milestone moment of knowing him as my savior. And I don't know about you, we were out for dinner a while ago. We'd done a lot of life together, but we'd actually never had that conversation, like, how, when, what happened in that moment that Jesus encountered you and you invited him to be your savior. So I'd love to kind of hear those stories. But for me, it was, I was going on a church camp. And I was going because I really had a crush on someone. And God was sending me, and he was making a way for me to meet his son through the Holy Spirit. So it's like, many of the plans in a man's heart, but it's the Lord's purpose that prevails. I was going, my plan was to get with this guy. God's purpose, he was going to encounter me and make me his own. And so I'm on this Christian camp, and all caught up in this guy. And then one night, my church presented the same message I'd heard, but everything changed because it's like God opened my eyes. And what really got me, I don't know what was the moment that really got you, but what really got me was that scripture from the Psalms that talks about, as far as the east is from the west, that is how far God has removed our transgressions, our sins, our mess, our chaos, our brokenness. And so I think we were talking this week that when God looks at us, when we come to him and we repent, he doesn't see us with those things. You can never join those things up together. Beth and the mess and the pain that I've repented for can never be joined. And that hit me, the power of the cross, Jesus freely gave to us. And I realized, oh, I've known about you. What privilege to have been brought up in this kind of ecumenical expression. But right now, I want to make you the Lord and Savior. And I'm going to tell you, he saved me from some things. I think we were talking earlier about father pain. And my father pain had me running everywhere looking for that affirmation and that acceptance. And even on that Christian camp that my church were putting on, I was going looking for that love and connection with a person to validate me. And I found freedom in Jesus. And I don't know what your, like, natural personality is like. I think you were talking, you were like, on my own, it's like disaster.
undone.
But Jesus shows up. Yes. And the power of the Holy Spirit shows up, and there's power. It's like treasure in jars of clay. And I was like the most quiet, terrified, like, don't look at me. Don't speak. But when I encountered Jesus, all I wanted to do was tell people about him, his love, his freedom. And it totally changed me from the inside out. And I'll never forget that moment. I know what the room looked like. I know where I was standing. That is not a hazy gray milestone. That is the moment when Jesus became the Lord and Savior of my life. Wow. And like in the book of Judges, you see what is going wrong. You know, they had an incredible heritage. They grew up under Moses and Joshua. They grew up hearing about the parting of the Red Sea. Like that's what they knew their whole life. But scripture says they didn't yada the Lord. They knew about him, but they didn't yada him, which was an intimate knowing on the inside. Be my God. I want to give you my whole life. They knew about him. They didn't know him intimately. And that's what happens when we accept Jesus as Lord and Savior. There's that transition of head to heart. And Jesus came to live on the inside of me. So I didn't know if that would just be encouraging for people to hear. Like, let's talk about that milestone moment. And what difference did Jesus make in your life? When Jesus went to the cross as a free gift, out of obedience to the Father, and he shed his blood for us, that was it. He gave himself as an offering so that our sins, when we repent, can be cancelled out. But we don't just stop there. He was put in a tomb, but he didn't stay in a tomb. So he didn't just defeat sin, he defeated death. And he didn't just stay in the tomb, he came out of the tomb. He was resurrected, and so many people saw him, and then he ascended to the Father and left us the Holy Spirit as a gift. But what does that mean for our life? It means that nothing is impossible for the Lord because of the blood of Jesus, because of the power that the blood has achieved to finish sin and death once and for all. There is no person, there's no one who has fallen so short that the blood is not enough for them. And I hope that encourages you. If you're believing for someone, he said, but they're just too far gone. Nothing is impossible because of the power of the shed blood of Jesus.
This moment where you encounter Jesus, the Savior, it's the moment where you realize what he's done and what the blood of Jesus. And the more you understand the Old Testament even, the sacrifices, everything they had to do, the blood of Jesus, you realize what you are welcomed into now, what you have. And I will never forget my whole revelation of Jesus for so long was, you believe in him so you don't go to hell. To you know, that heaven. Was, that was kind of my
fire insurance plan.
You know, and then I remember being a high schooler and there was a girl in my high school who was on fire for God. And I was so uncomfortable around her. Like, I was like, what? Yeah. This girl is crazy. Like, that's what I was thinking. Like, you know, so, but something inside of me was like, who does she know? What does she know? Yeah. And it was like, because we're all made in the image of God.
Yes.
So even though I had not fully surrendered my life, something in me was like, who is that? What does she know? And so I literally got, I asked my parents if I could take a gap year. I said, I want to find out if God is real. Wow. And, you know, because I had been raised in Oklahoma, the Bible Belt. I'm like, I feel like I know all this stuff, but I know I don't have a personal relationship. Mm-hmm. So I went to Google. I typed in mission school. I don't know. Well, I just was like, maybe I'll go do missions for a year, see if I find God. That's what I did. And, you know, found Youth with a Mission. And I go to this school and the third week, ironically, they're talking about the Father Heart of God. And as he's talking about this, though, he explains the gospel in a way I had not yet understood it. And when I understood the love of Jesus that led him to the cross, that took our sin, I mean, you would have thought, I'm in the room looking around like, did you guys all know this? Did everyone all know this? I'm like, I'd never heard it like this. Wow. And I had a moment, I remember, I fell down in worship. I just couldn't even, there was like a response to the message. I fell down. I think I got up 3 hours later and was never the same. I was never the same after that moment because I realized this is so much more than just going to heaven. This is so much more. This is Jesus, the Savior, who gave everything. That we could be back with God, that we'd be redeemed back to God. And I just, you know, talking about those moments where you meet Jesus the first time, it feels like yesterday still. I'm like, I'm right back there in that little room. at YWAM Kona. I can see the speaker in my head. And I remember thinking, my whole life is changing right now. I know that. I can sense it. And it was this revelation of Jesus the Savior.
When Jesus came to save and seek that which was lost, what was lost was our relationship with Jesus Christ, God the Father, and the Holy Spirit. I believe that Jesus came to reconcile that relationship. I don't want to live knowing that I could have had a relationship with God living apart from Him. I want the fullness of God and everything He has to offer me in my life.
I don't remember when I asked Jesus into my life for the first time. I was raised in church. My daddy pastored, my mom played the organ. You know, wow. I was sitting with my mom on the piano bench a couple days ago. I looked over and my kids were sitting there in the living room. And I said, I was raised sitting on a bench like this. And I remember my mom playing a big old B3 organ, Hammond organ, you know. And I'd watch her little leg just go back and forth. And she just played for my dad for years and years and years. And she's having a little bit of memory stuff going on. And she just plays beautifully, you know. But I think what I have had through the years is those encounters with Jesus that it makes you feel like, God, I didn't even know you. I have loved you all of my life. But I didn't know you like this. Mm-hmm. Please forgive me of my sins, you know, and have that whole new, just wash me. Let me know you. One of my favorite scriptures are of Job. When Job went through all his problems of the Bible, he finally said, God, I had heard of you before, but now I have seen you. Mm-hmm. And so through my life, there are those moments where when I see Jesus and it almost feels like, where have I been? But no, I've loved Jesus all of my life, you know, but man, I've got to really get to know him now, you know? And so I've had several of those very impacting, even as an adult, those impacting moments of realizing I have not believed right about this. And when Jesus died on the cross, you know, just little things. When Jesus died on the cross, and he spilled his blood. He shed his blood for all of our sins. And then he said, I've come to seek and save the lost and I destroy the works of the devil. And then he said, it is finished. I've done it. All power now is mine. All authority. And there was a time in my life when there was this big fight and either God won or the devil won, right? And so it's just this bet, you know, warfare in the heavenlies. When God says, Jesus says, I have all power. What are you looking at? Yeah. I have all power. So if Jesus has all power, then how much does the devil have? Mm. Zero. So I got saved again. Okay. You know, God, I repent. Because if you give power to an entity that's not Jesus, what is that? That's idolatry. Mm-hmm. So I had to repent. And so I have those moments of just wake up calls in my life when, man, it's like I have not been serving the right Jesus. I have loved him since I was a little girl. But man, I need to get to know this Jesus in a full power, full authority, all power, all might and dominion. And then he says, I'll go with you. I have it all. You go, and now I'll go with you, you know? And so I have those impactful memories and moments in my life. And man, I am so thankful for that.
I've seen Jesus be the centerpiece of my life in multiple ways, but I will never forget a teaching I heard. Someone said, sometimes when we hear the scripture, seek first the kingdom, we think it's Jesus first, family second, and we start to make a list. But really what that scripture means is Jesus at the center of it all. It is how I see Jesus at the center of my life and the center of it all is simply through this, surrendering daily to Jesus and saying, not my will, but yours be done. Because I will always
be motivated to want to do my own things. And, you know, right, we're human. But when we keep Jesus at the center of it all, to me what that means is I'm living a surrendered life of wholehearted obedience and devotion to Jesus, His word, and His commands.
I think about that I was raised in church, and I love Jesus. And I just remember things like laying in bed saying, we had missionaries in our church, and I had this one line I always pray, Lord, bless the missionaries overseas. You know, I knew the missionaries were in New Zealand. That was my prayer. And in the third grade, I had a little girl that I didn't really even play with, but I found out that she didn't know Jesus, that her family didn't know Jesus. So I made it a point to go down there for a solid week to tell her about Jesus. And I think I finally just twisted her arm. I think she was just finally like, okay, you know. And after she said, okay, I was happy, and I don't ever think I played with her again. And that was really good witnessing, wasn't it? But I love Jesus. I remember being baptized. I remember on our church on Sunday night when I was 10 years old, I had to be baptized. It was like I could feel it. I feel it to this very day. I know it. It was hold me in my seat. I'm going to be baptized. I told my mom, I'm going to be baptized. She said, no, you're not. So we don't have clothes. We don't have this. You have to wait till next week, you know. And I was just crushed. So I remember all of that. But I think for me, when I was in probably high school, I know maybe I was we were studying. So I was at the end of high school. We were studying with a friend of mine over to her house. And this is the weirdest scripture, but I can't even tell you where it is right this minute. But it talked about being lukewarm. Mm-hmm. And that you can't be hot. You can't, you know, don't be cold, but don't be lukewarm. Be hot or be cold, but don't be lukewarm. And I told my friend, I go, did you hear that? And she's like, what? Because her mother and her aunt were in there doing a Bible study together. I said, oh, God's talking about being lukewarm. And she looks at me like I have lost it. But it was so loud. It was as if I was in there with them. And it was as if God was saying, what are you responsible? You know,
hot or cold?
You hot or you cold? Which way are you going? But I can't have you lukewarm. And that day it changed everything that I thought I knew. And it was, I've got to be responsible for what I do know. You know, I've got to uphold what I do know. And that changed everything for me and the way I looked at things. Mm-hmm. And so I think that, I don't know if that's the first time I accepted Jesus or if that was I don't think it was, but I think it was that refreshing. It was that come to meeting me in a new way here. And I'll never forget that. She was not fazed by that, didn't hear that, but it was like a foghorn. Just
it's
right there.
Revelation 3, it says, these are the words of the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the ruler of God's creation. I know your deeds, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish you were either one or the other. So because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I'm about to spit you out of my mouth.
Mm. And it that was the hard part.
That gave you like, I didn't want to say that part.
I don't want to say that out of my mouth. We've been talking about a good God.
Fear of the Lord.
And to this day, I have a very healthy fear of God.
Yes.
It's a healthy fear of God. And I don't know if it was brought from there, but I thought I do not want to be outcast. I don't think God would ever throw me out. But you know, in Revelation, it's probably a doctrinally, you know, a whole nother situation, but it was important to me. And I do. I think it's important to have a healthy fear of God.
Absolutely.
To realize that God is God. He's a good God. He's a kind God. But you don't want to test God. You don't want, there's no reason. God's done too much for me to dishonor Him, to dishonor His way knowingly. Mm-hmm. Now, of course, you know, we all sin and fall short of the glory of God. We need the Savior. But knowingly, you know, and that's why I think even our attitude, the work of the Holy Spirit and how God works through us. And God just gave me a revelation that what I did, what I said, what it was, my thinking was not correct. Mm-hmm. And I want to go repent. And I think, you know, that's really what it's about. That's the growth. That's the renewing. That's the freshness. That's the purity. That's the infilling. You know, what does it say to constantly be filled? You know, where we can't go water your grass once and expect it to grow. Mm-hmm. You got to water it, you know. And so we have to water ourselves, water the word, water the seed that's been sown. But that was kind of my thing. And I know that's a crazy kind of scripture in the natural, like, what do you mean? But it was interesting that God chose all those scriptures. Mm. Of any scripture he could have chosen, he used that one on me. Yeah. 'Cause I was like, oh my gosh, yeah. I got to figure this thing out.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
What am I going to choose today? Are we going to be hot, cold, one foot in, one foot out, you know, straddling the line? And that's when I think I really became conscious of every decision.
The Bible says that God hasn't given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. Fear is not from God, but there is a reverent fear that we can have of God. And I have a reverent, healthy fear of God. I don't want to displease God. All that God has done for me, I can't even imagine doing things that I know would not please Him. Now, it doesn't mean that I don't do things that don't please Him, but I think twice with my choices. I try to do what's right because I don't want to displease God. I have a fear that God has given me so much, I would never want to take for granted what He does for me. It's not that God is going to quit loving me. It's not that God's going to cut me off. It is a fear that is healthy, it's strong, and it's full of love. Because see, God has never given us, wants us to fear Him. He's never given us that spirit of fear. But it's a healthy way of looking at God and how we live our lives.
I was sitting here trying to think about my first time getting saved. I know I was, because I went to a Christian school. I was either in the first or second grade, and they did like an altar call in our chapel service. And I just remember going down to the front and deciding to give my life to Jesus. And I remember going home and telling my mom, and they were so excited. It was like, oh, you finally gave me life to Jesus. That's awesome. And dad is like, I only have an altar call every Sunday. And you go do it at school. We can't even take pictures, you know. So we laughed about it.
Can't even take the credit.
Right, can't even take the pictures. Can't even take the credit. None of that, you know. And which I thought was cool because it was my whole thing, like outside of my parents for the longest time. It's like my relationship with Jesus and with God was through my parents' relationship with Jesus and with God. But when I was sitting here thinking of Jesus as Savior, it's not even just for my life to keep me from hell, but it's from every situation that I just may need a little rescuing or a little saving from. And like scripture is talking about how I don't even have to fight my battles. Like all I have to do is hold still and a lot of them. And I've been in so many situations where I'm like, God, this, I am, Lord Jesus, I am not going to be able to do this, you know, on my own will, my own might. And Holy Spirit just reminding me to sit still, to listen to what I'm hearing, and to remember that Jesus will fight my battles and that He will save me in this situation. And it was this one time this one situation I was in, we were in court, actually not in court, but it was like they called all of these pastors to the table. They wanted them to get more involved in like sex trafficking in our area. And so they called all lead pastors. And I mean, these big time pastors was coming out and having the meeting with the judge. And I'm sitting there like, my dad sent me, but he sent me because he's like, you're already involved in missions and helping out with sex trafficking. So you would be the best person to get the information so that our church can do whatever we need to do to be a part.
So when I was talking about being called to the table at the courthouse with a group of pastors, this judge, amazing judge, she just really wanted to get the church involved in preventing human trafficking and figuring out programs that could be started or just ways that we could just get involved, whether it was financially, whether it was raising awareness, just different ways to get people, Christians, involved in ending human trafficking.
And I'm like, what? Like, so when I got there and I saw all of the pastors in the mega churches in our area, and I'm like, you were not supposed to send me. Like, this is terrible. They started making like little comments. It's amazing how we can be sometimes, but they started making like little comments about my dad being too busy and not being able to come. But it wasn't the heart of it at all. It was just like, you're actually already doing something. Go get this information and let's do it. So I just remember sitting there and I'm like, what am I gonna say? Like, even the judge was kind of like, why are you here, almost? And I said, Jesus, you're gonna have to help me with this one. And somehow, this lady who was in the room that they call in, she was actually the lady who was feet on the ground, and they wanted her to train the pastors. She was like, don't I know you? And I'm like, no, we've never met. You know, I don't know you. And she's like, didn't you have a walk? Because, you know, Chris came, we did the A21. She was like, didn't you have a walk in this area, and you had, like, over 500 people to come out? And I'm like, yes.
Ride that to the rim.
So I'm like, yes, yeah. That was in. Yeah. She said, okay, that's amazing. Like, that's the kind of stuff that we need. So she, like, went off of that. And then everybody kind of, hearts kind of shifted. And it's like, okay, this is why you're here. And I was like, Jesus, you did that.
She like, went for from you the to, back to
like,
the front.
Like, you said, yes, because it was going so badly, you know. And I'm just like, the comments that were made, and I'm just like, and I started feeling anxious, and I just remember, hearing him say, sit still, like, sit still, I got you. Like, so finish work pretty much, right. You know, and she started speaking things that had been done in the area, and it shifted all of their hearts to then it's kind of like, okay, so let's get the work done. Then everybody else was, you know, and I'm just kind of like, So it's even in those moments where I'm like, whoo, Jesus, you saved me there, because I was totally not supposed to be here. But it was just kind of like he made room, like, he made sure everything was in place so that all I had to do was show up. And I'm like, okay, so when I think about, it's almost like Jesus being a savior, or we talk about knowing the finished work of the cross, and it's like, it's a fixed fight. Yes. Like, show up. We already won. Like, we can stand there. I wasn't bold or confident when I was sitting in that room, I will say. I was very kind of like, Lord, why? But now when I get into certain situations, because I had that encounter, it's kind of like, if you have me here, you told me to come here, or you sent me here, you gonna make sure you save me every single time. You gonna make sure you do the job. It's like knowing, my uncle shared this story. He loves Cowboys. Me too. I love Cowboys only because of him, because I love my uncle. But he talked about how one Sunday he had to teach and he couldn't watch the Cowboys game. And somebody had told him the Cowboys won. And that was all that they told him, the Cowboys won the game. And he said, so as I'm sitting there watching the game and I see them fumbling and all of those things, he said, I almost wanted to get upset, but I couldn't because I knew the end.
Yeah.
I knew we won, you know? So I was just like, that is like the finished work of the cross.
That's a word.
And I'm just like, I said, I will have to remember that. It's like to be able to sit in peace, to be able to know that he already fought the good fight, that he already saved it, that he already redeemed us. It's kind of like, that's where faith kicks in, where it's like, okay, no, I know he has me. Like, I know he has me covered. I can go in here, I can show up, and I can show up boldly because I know he did it.
He
fixed the fight. He already won. We already won. So now we just fight the good fight of faith.
I think if we all walked in the actual authority that Jesus has given us, we would see great and mighty things in our life. I think that's something that we all want in our lives. We all want to be, I want more. I want to I want that in my life. I want the knowledge of Jesus Christ to be expounded in my life. And I want to walk in the authority that Jesus has given to me with signs that make you wonder. That's what I want. I think we all desire more of that, and I think we'll see it.
That's the scripture that talks about He's already given us everything we need.
Yes.
For holiness and godliness and for this life. We're not lacking any good thing. And it's like you said, if we could only show up believing that, if we could only show up, not that every time we're going to go from the back to the front, but every time God's going to do a work, God's going to do something. We're going to realize what we really have and that we're not lacking any good thing. You know, when we walk uprightly before God, that He's already instilled all that in us. And sometimes that's hard to really think when you're looking at the circumstances or you're looking at other people and you think, well, they know more than me. They have more than me. They're more experienced than me. I'm the youngest one here. I mean, or hear the criticism of people. People can be very critical. And it's interesting that we have to remind ourselves that God's already given us everything that we need.
I think faith, everybody's faith is built on what they believe either happened or didn't happen at the cross.
Yes.
You know, I mean, either I remember another saved moment was when I said either he did or he didn't.
Mm-hmm.
Either he is or he isn't, you know, and I was frustrated. And sometimes our dissatisfaction can be our greatest asset.
Yes.
When you get, I got dissatisfied with what I was being given. And I was like, whoa, hold on. Either Jesus has all power or he doesn't.
Yeah.
And there's something I have to do now to complete the work of the cross. And either some demon got loose at the cross and Jesus doesn't know about it and he's here to take my stuff, or, you know, so how many demons did get loose at the cross, you know, or how much fighting do I have to do, or what words do I have to say to complete what he has for me? What this do and don't do, you know, and if you just believe that I get to rest in that finished work of the cross. And that when I did receive Christ, it wasn't just a bus ticket to heaven, but it was a salvation of my very soul to bring me into eternal life, that everything that pertains to life and godliness is mine through knowing Him and who He is. That is revelation that changes your world. It changes your perspective. It changes your mindset. It changes everything, how you live your life and the victory that you walk in. All of a sudden, you know, and it can be difficult because all of a sudden the blood of Christ takes away all my excuses.
Mm-hmm.
So now there's nothing to blame because Jesus finished it on the cross. So either he did or he didn't. So my excuse is to blame somebody for my problem goes away, because either Jesus did or he didn't.
So I talk a lot about my experience of just being dissatisfied with thinking there was something stopping me from experiencing what God had for me, that I was having to go through something to get to God. I was having to go through the enemy to get my stuff from God, or my, you know, and I got so tired of that, and I got so frustrated. And for me, it was that either he did or he didn't. Either I have all things that pertain to life and godliness, or I don't. And it was that dissatisfaction, and it was just that just change. And then it was that I am going to believe this with all of my heart, with all of my soul, with all of my spirit, and I'm not turning back, and I'm not going backwards, and I'm not going to pretend that there's something that I have to do to finish what Jesus did on the cross for me. And I am going to rest in that I'm free, that I'm set free, and that it's my choice. If I'm going to live in bondage, that's my choice. Nothing is keeping me in bondage, because Jesus said He has set me free on the cross, and whom the Son has set free is free indeed.
And Paul said, you know, the message of the cross is foolishness to the perishing. Yes, yes. But to us who are being saved, it's the power of God, the revelation. That's what has saved us. Yes. The finish. He's not finishing it. He has finished it. But what's so incredible, you shared John 3:16, you know, God so loved the world that he sent his one and only son. Because he didn't want the world to perish. Yeah. But right now, the message of the cross is foolishness to the perishing. Yes. But Jesus, the finished work of the cross is still going after, and the blood of Jesus is enough. Yes. And that is something that I have been meditating on so much. There's a couple of people that I'm praying for. And right now, everything I say seems complete lunacy. Mm. And I'm like, well, what about this? Nope, closed door. What about this testimony? Cold heart. Mm. But the blood is enough. Yes. The blood is enough. What Jesus carried for the whole world is enough to break through the chains, to open the eyes. And I was riding in an Uber after we were filming in Tennessee, and I was riding in an Uber and I was going to my friend's church, and the Uber driver, he's like, oh, you're going to church, you know, so you're holy then. So I'm like, okay, this is
like, here we go.
I'm on assignment. So I'm like, where do we go? So we start chatting and he says, well, I'm a Pharisee. He says, I think that's ridiculous. So I was like, what seemed like an open door was like not. And so I'm sharing with him and I started telling him about the case for Christ. Mm. I said, I don't know if you've heard of this film. It's also a book. Mm. And so I said, you know, here's the story. Here's what happened. And actually, this guy ended up meeting Jesus because he was trying to disprove the resurrection. Wow. And once you start trying to disprove the resurrection, like you say, he either is or he isn't.
Mm. Yeah.
You could have every opportunity to encounter Jesus at the cross. And so he didn't seem very interested in that. But when he dropped me off, he gave me a low rating. I was like, Lord, I was being an ambassador and I lost 8 points. But what I thought was amazing in that moment, I was like, the finished work of the cross is still pursuing him. So he That's drives right. off. The next person he picks up could be Lee Strobel, who wrote The Case for Christ. Yeah, yeah. Or the next person he picks up could leave that book in his car. Or the next thing he puts on could be that very program where the resurrection, the finished work of Jesus, is right there in his face, because the Holy Spirit is pursuing all of those who still are in belief. Yes. And those of us, it's the power of God. We just got to keep going and telling our testimony and remembering, you said this, remembering Lee, to rejoicing. Like, I'm listening to you and like that first love starts coming back up, and we're stirring it up through that message of the cross, right?
You know, there's nothing more painful than watching someone you love away from God, or not even knowing God or understanding God. And it's in that moment where, I don't know about you, but I often want to help. I'm like, look, I'll just get in there. I'll do some stuff. I'll say some things. And it's like actually an important moment to step back and say, unless Jesus asks me, he doesn't need me. The Holy Spirit is enough. I love in Psalm 139 where it talks about, where can I go from your presence? Where can I flee? And it starts listing the places, you know, if I go here, if I rise to the heights, if I go here, nope, there's nowhere we can go. There's no sin that can separate us from the love of God. And I think that is such an important reminder, maybe for a parent praying for a prodigal today, or a wife believing for a husband, or a co-worker, or whoever it is, someone that you love, remember that the blood is enough. And where you can't go and where your words can't permeate, the Spirit of God can go and can permeate. No one is too far gone for salvation.
I remember texting you going, oh my goodness, I'm learning this in 1 Corinthians, not knowing she was like studying 1 Corinthians. So then we're just exploding in our text messages, like, oh my goodness, and I'm seeing this. But one of the things from 1 Corinthians is when Paul says, I've decided to know nothing among you but Christ and him crucified. Mm-hmm. He says, I don't come with eloquent speech or wisdom, right? Mm-hmm. For the demonstration of spirit and of power. And I'm like, man, outside of Jesus the Savior and knowing the cross, it is finished, it is done.
Yeah.
We've been purchased with his blood.
Yes.
And knowing what we've been rescued from. Yeah. I think for me, that's what happened to me, is I realized what I was actually rescued from. Mm-hmm. That the wages of my sin was death. And Jesus broke onto the scene and literally changed everything. And I know we've talked about this so much, of just the simplicity of Christ and him crucified. Mm-hmm. And how it's literally changed everything.
And the blood is enough.
Yeah.
You were talking about this generation looking all over the place, everywhere.
Yeah.
Seeking something to fill that void. And the blood is enough.
Yeah.
You don't have to make it more complicated. Mm-hmm. We don't have to strive to try and help people understand. Just God, give them a revelation of the cross because the blood is enough.
Yeah.
So I love that.
So good. Mm.
And sin, you know, when you talk about sin, that God, and I love what you said, it's from the east to the west. Mm-hmm. So it's not really, sin's an issue in an unbeliever's life, of course. But as far as we're concerned, as believers in Christ, it's missing the mark.
Yeah.
It's just missing the mark. And God hated sin so much that he sent his son, right? To redeem us.
When I think about what Jesus did on the cross and how he finished the work, it gives me a rest. It gives me a sense of peace. I don't have to struggle. I don't have to strive to make things happen. Jesus has already called it done, called it finished. Now we just get to live out from that place of victory. He has called us more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. So now we have to live as conquerors. We have to live as the victor and not the victim.
In 2 Peter 1, he says, "But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if these things are yours and abound, you will neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these things," so the brotherly kindness, the love, the faith, the virtue, the all that, "is short-sighted even to blindness, and that he has forgotten that he was cleansed from all of his sins." So people have forgotten. I think even as a child of God, you can forget that you've been forgiven.
Mm. Yes. Wow. Come on.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. And so you can live in a bondage for just forgetting. And you become blind and you become cold, you become short-sighted. When he's saying, add to your faith through the Holy Spirit. That's why we need the Holy Spirit to have moral conduct or to have brotherly love or to have that Jesus died in our, and our knowledge of who he is, what he's done on the cross, who he sent to us to help us, right? Then we can have all these things that pertain to life and knowledge. Remembering, I have already been forgiven.
Yeah, come on.
And not lose sight of being saved and set free. And not being put, we can't be put back into bondage. Don't go back to slavery. Don't go back into bondage. Stay free by knowing who he is and by capturing everything. And we see Jesus in each other. That's why it's so important about who you hang around and who you're listening to. And what church you go to, right? And who's pouring into your life? Is it life? Is it life-giving? Or is it draining you? Is it chaos? Is it confusion? But staying with TBN turned on, listening to the word, listening to Joel, listening to Matt and Beth, you know, listening to all of you guys. And I love, that's why I love this program. Because you can look up every person sitting on this set and get so much by just gleaning off of one another. And that's how we see Jesus. He wants to use us. He wants to use you to help speak his life and his love to somebody else.
I have felt accepted, loved, and forgiven by Jesus, first and foremost, through the power of the cross. When I had a revelation of the cross and what Jesus did, that the wages of my sin was death, right? But now this gift of God is eternal life through Jesus. It changed my life. When I was aware of what sin actually was, and it wasn't just a Sunday school story, it wasn't just like something I heard in passing, that the wages of my sin was death, but what the cross did and has set me free. And I will never forget the first time it was like, wait, this shame I feel, this guilt I feel, you can take it, you can have it. I mean, it changed my
life. And so I want to encourage anyone today, if you do feel patterns of guilt or shame, you can absolutely give those to Jesus because he took it on the cross.
You know what I hear in that scripture is that everything you see and you disapprove of in someone else, don't forget. You've been forgiven of.
Yeah. Oh, that's good.
Yes. You know, because that's it was good. Saying, don't be blindsided, short-sighted. Mm-hmm. You have the same problem.
Yeah. Exactly.
It may look a little different, but you got the same problem. Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, and so that's where I think even ministering, you know, and I know we're going to talk about, you know, proclaiming the good news, but I mean, sometimes when you're trying to minister to someone who you think is a sinner, they've got the wrong, you know, and you can look at them and you can really condemn them, but God never did condemn. And so it's like you were talking about, but just, you know, live your life, speak the word, speak the blood, but you know, God does the work.
Yes.
Come on.
And I think that's one of the most powerful things that's been a thread through this week. When you started off with that story about, therefore there is now no condemnation in Christ Jesus. And now we're talking about the cross, that we don't have to come shamed, being blamed, having the enemy pointing the finger, that actually God looks at us and he sees a people that he loves and is able to redeem because of the finished work of the cross. So I just think that's so powerful. I am so glad you started off with that story about condemnation, because I feel like that set us up, because that is such an important central piece. Even maybe someone from the outside looking in is saying, you know, I thought God was mad with me, or I thought he was bad, but actually, I just pray that this week we'll remind people he is good and he is for you and he is ready to save you and set you free and rescue you. How amazing is that?
Come on.
Immediately.
Amen.
So why don't we just pray? Jesus, I just thank you for the finished work at the cross. God, I thank you for the saving grace, Lord. I thank you, Jesus, that you willingly went to the cross, Lord Jesus, to redeem us and reconcile us to the Father. And God, I just pray for every person watching right now, God, not just in this circle, but watching, Lord, that it wouldn't be on the outside looking in, that they would invite you, Lord Jesus, to come and live inside of them, Lord, to be their personal savior, to be redeemed and reconciled because of the finished work of the cross. Jesus, we love you. You are our savior. You are our rescuer. You are our redemption, Lord Jesus. We love you. We worship you and we honor you in the precious, mighty name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Amen.